This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pearl Harbor. Talk about that today. We lost an election last night. Should you care? We have all that and so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. All right, we lost an election. Woke up this morning just like you, rolled over. Hey, what's going on? I kind of knew before bed, but I rolled over. Oh no, Herschel Walker lost in Georgia. And now we have a Senate minority, 51 to 49 Democrat. Maybe you're down in the dumps about that today. Maybe you're bummed out, you were hoping for more. Tell you what, pause on that thought for just a moment. Take that thought. Take the Georgia election, take you being bummed out, pause. I want you to take that, and I want you to put it in your back pocket. Let's do a little hypothetical here. Just you and me talking. Let's do a little hypothetical. I want you to picture something. I want to picture you're in this big room. Call it 30 by 30. You're in a big room, and you have your hands tied behind your back, and your feet are tied together. You're totally helpless, and you're sitting in the corner of the room. You're just sitting there in the corner, helpless. And there's a bad man in that room. He's in the other corner. And he says, I'm going to come beat you up. I'm going to come get you. So you're nervous, right? It sucks. But then another man walks into the room. He even looks big and strong. And he looks at you and he says, don't worry. I'm not going to let him hurt you. I've got you covered. And so the bad man right then, he charges across the room. He's running at you. And the big guy turns your friend. And he says, no, stop. And the bad man gets to him and just shoves him right out of the way. And then the bad man runs over to you and just starts beating the crap out of you. Your head, your eyes, your nose is bleeding. You got a broken rib. Oh, please stop. And the bad man stops. And he walks back across the room and sits in the corner. He says, I'm coming for you again. And you look at the big guy that was supposed to help you. And you say, well, where were you, bro? I beat up over here. And he says, hey, man, my bad. I sprained an ankle. I think I've got it fixed now. If he ever does that again, I'm going to stop him. I'm going to here to protect you. And bad man charges across the room once again, gets to the good guy who's supposed to be protecting you, and once again just shoves him right out of the way, gets over to you and just starts kicking you and punching you and elbow, just beating the crap out of you. And now you're sitting there, you got two black eyes, broken ribs, broken arm, life sucks, everything hurts, and the bad man goes to the other side of the room, he says, I'm coming back. And then the good guy turns to you and says, hey man, I just remembered, I've got a doctor's appointment, I've got to go, I won't be back for another week. Sorry, I won't be here to protect you anymore. Did you lose anything? Do you care? I need you to tell me something, because I saw this a lot. I wanted Herschel Walker to win. I did. I wanted Raphael Warnock to lose because, well, Raphael Warnock is horrible. Here he is.
As a pastor, I have a profound reverence for life. And as a pastor and a person of faith, I have a deep respect for choice. And so if you care about life, we ought to find a way. That's a place where government could show up.
Yeah.
And address the obvious bias in our healthcare system.
It's what Jesus would do.
I think it's exactly what Jesus would do.
Senator...
Jesus would definitely want you to murder your unborn baby, of course. Anyway, so yeah, I know, I wanted Warnock to lose, don't get me wrong. I wanted Walker to win, but why should I care that we don't have the Senate? What's the GOP Senate done for me? What have they done for you? Are you bummed out? Maybe you should remember the GOP Senate passed $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill after $1 trillion bill, helped the Democrats pass all these bills under Donald Trump and under Joe Biden, GOP Senate lining up to spend this country into bankruptcy over and over and over again and destroy the value of your dollar. No. That wasn't only Democrats. That was the GOP Senate. I'm old enough to remember that horrible Uvalde school shooting. And immediately after that shooting, the communists did what communists do every single time. The communists decided to stand on dead bodies because they don't care about the kids or anything like that. They decided to stand on the dead bodies and try to disarm you. That's what they try to do. They want to disarm you so they can hurt you. And I remember not just one or two GOP senators. I remember the big cheese of the GOP Senate, Mitch McConnell, getting up in front of the cameras, publicly saying, we have decided we're going to work with Democrats. I've directed us to work with Democrats on some gun control. And not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, 15 Republican senators crossed the aisle to go vote with Democrats to limit your Second Amendment rights. Handing win after win after win after win after win. So you tell me, why I'm supposed to care that Democrats control the Senate and not the loser Republicans in the Senate? Why am I supposed to care that the guy who promised to defend me has a doctor's appointment and now he's leaving on vacation? Why should I give a crap? I don't care because nothing's going to change. If it was 51-49 Republican majority, you know what they'd still do? Over and over and over again, they'd still spend gigantic sums of money we don't have. They'll still pass gun control. GOP senators are working with Democrats as we speak on an amnesty bill already. Why am I supposed to care? I don't care. I'm sorry. The Senate sucks. The Senate is where freedom goes to die. Who gives a crap? Go run for school board. I don't care about the stupid Senate. Oh, and speaking of school board, let's have a discussion here. It came up yesterday because in Illinois is about to pass a law for cashless bail. Just a heads up, the horrific violent crime you've seen pop up in places like New York, California, and others, that's a direct result of cashless bail. Take these violent criminals and just, revolving door, just let them right out of prison. And what I said yesterday was, you need to get out. You need to get out of your blue area. You need to leave your blue area to the animals, and you need to go take yourself and your family someplace where you can be safe, because the national GOP isn't going to save you. And the outnumbered GOP in these blue areas isn't going to save you. But you can still have a really, really wonderful, normal-looking life if you pack it up and get to a red area where they lock up criminals and actually keep them locked up. And whenever I say things like this, you'll inevitably get somebody. I had people yesterday say, Jesse, Lee Zeldin almost won in New York. Lee Zeldin got blown out in New York. Oh, don't get me wrong, Lee Zeldin's a stud, and he overperformed, and he should be proud of what he did. I'm not ripping on Lee Zeldin, but Lee Zeldin got crushed in New York. What are you talking about? Lee Zeldin got crushed because he didn't get crushed as bad as the last guy. He still got crushed in New York. But Jesse, I'm never leaving. Okay, don't leave. Don't leave. You do what you want to do. I can't force you to do anything. Don't leave. But, Florida had a million people plus move into Florida over the last 2 years. Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Have you heard a word from a single one of those people who moved to Florida? Have you heard one word about them, about how they regret it? Because I could show you email after email after email after email. I get to my show of, Jesse, I moved. It's the best decision I ever made. Jesse, we got out last year. Best decision I ever made. Jesse, we got out 5 years ago. Best decision I ever made. No, I'm gonna stay and fight. Jesse, we can't cede ground. I get this all the time. So we should cede ground? Is Lizzo ceding ground to obesity? I'd say the ground is already lost. You're not ceding ground you've already lost. If your state cannot be saved, then stop trying to save it and get to a state where you can. And if you're worried about national elections, but Jesse, that'll hurt national elections. You do understand that your state gets so many congressional seats and electoral votes based on the population of the state, right? So if you were to take all these wonderful Republicans, and there are a bunch of them in a state like, California, and you were to take all those millions of Republicans in the state of California and move them all to red states, one, California hemorrhages electoral college votes, and two, that red state where all those Republicans move to gains electoral college votes. You know who you're helping by living in a crime-ridden blue hellhole that hates you? You know who you're helping? No one. You're not aiding the cause. Not at all. You want to stay for family reasons? I get that. That happens. You want to stay for because you can't find new work or something? I get it. People have bills to pay. I'm not naive. But just take it from me, as someone who's done it, as someone who's moved from blue to red, it's a better life, man. Feel free to come join us. Texas is wide open for you Republicans. Come on down. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, let's talk to somebody from Florida. Greg Stubbe's from Florida. Let's ask him about what it's like to live in a free state versus what it's like to live in your state. We'll do that in a moment. But first, I want you to do something for me. I want you to look up in your area the last time you had some kind of an air quality alert, some kind of an allergy warning, pollen warning in the air, dust in the air. Oh, I know you have them. We get them all the time down here too. And I used to wake up and my eyes would itch just as soon as I saw the warning. It's coming. I don't go through any of that anymore. I don't go through any of that anymore because I own 3 Eden Pure thunderstorms. So no matter what the air is like outside of my home or outside of the studio here, the air I breathe in all day long is clean because Eden Pure thunderstorm has been cleaning all the gunk out of it all day long. I bought one of these things originally. I loved it so much, I now own 6 of them. Go. They have 3 packs for sale for my viewers. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, saves you $200 on a 3-pack, plus free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
Joining me now, Congressman Greg Stubbe, great congressman from the state of Florida. Congressman, oftentimes we'll tell people that you should pack up and leave your blue hellhole and go to a place where you can be free. Texas, Florida, Wyoming, Idaho, I don't care. Go someplace where you can be surrounded by people who share your values. I have personally done it. I know it's a sacrifice and I know it's worth it. Would you do me a favor and tell people just what it's like to live in the state of Florida?
Well, I tell you, it's totally different when you leave freedom and then you get on a plane to come up here to Washington, D.C., and you land and you feel a complete difference in a socialist, communist-run city that, people running around outside with masks still on and COVID mandates in place and all of these things. You got to walk through a magnetometer to get on the House floor to simply vote as a member of Congress that's been elected to serve in the House. So totally different environment. And people are flocking to the state of Florida for that very reason. And just as a quick side note, if you look at the numbers, like just in Sarasota County alone, like in 1 month we had 800 new Republican registrants and 300 new Democrat registrants of new voters. So that shows you that the people that are moving into Florida are Republicans, conservatives. They're sick and tired of Chicago and policies in Michigan and Detroit and some of these democratically run cities and states, and they're finally going to run to freedom.
Congressman, Herschel Walker lost last night. Obviously, I would have rather Herschel Walker won. That sucks. But okay, midterms are officially wrapped up and over. And I'll be honest with you, cynical as I may be, I woke up today, we don't have the Senate 51-49 minority in the Senate. Tell me why I should give a crap. Because I watched the GOP vote on gigantic trillion-dollar bill after gigantic trillion-dollar bill. I watched 15 Republican senators vote with Democrats to take away my gun rights. I woke up today and saw they control the Senate, and I'll be honest, it means nothing to me.
Yeah, it's frustrating as a conservative and it's, and somebody that's a conservative in the House, the fact that we don't have the Senate. There's so much good that we're going to do in the House as it relates to the FBI, the DOJ, oversight on the Biden administration, illegal immigration, thing after thing after thing that we'll be able to do. But now we're going to be fighting a Democratic Senate. So a lot of these big ideas, these big bills, we're going to have to try to be artful in the way that we put it into the appropriations packages and try to negotiate with the Senate, and obviously not be able to do a lot of the conservative things that we want to do. I left the state of Florida where it's overwhelmingly Republican, both in the House and the Senate and the full cabinet. And you come up here and you can't get anything done because you're in a Democratic House. Now we're going to be in a Republican House, but I'm going to have to work through things in a Democratic Senate. And it's very, very frustrating. And I share that frustration, but I would encourage people not to give up, not to give up hope on the Republic. We need to continue to fight. The Senate map is going to look much better for us next cycle in 24. And God willing, we elect a Republican president, then everything changes.
Okay, tell me about this DOJ FBI oversight. This is the thing that I consider to be the most dangerous thing happening in the United States of America right now. Everyone wants to talk about Twitter and Facebook and these things. These are social media companies. None of these people have the authority to throw me in a dark hole the rest of my life. The FBI does, and they apparently intend to do so with many Americans who don't lean Democrat.
Yeah, you're right. And that is, I believe, one of the most pressing, on top of immigration, one of the most pressing issues facing our country that a Republican House needs to provide oversight on, because we do. We have a completely weaponized, politicized Department of Justice and FBI that as late back as to when Trump was running for office, used the intelligence apparatuses of our intelligence community to surveil on American citizens. And now we have the opportunity as Republicans to bring all of that information and all that evidence to the American people, because you're right. That's scary when you give people that type of power and they're abusing that power in a political nature. And we've seen it time and time again, everything from going after parents at school board meetings and deeming them domestic terrorists, to secretly surveilling our phones and our communications through a secret court. There's all sorts of things that we're gonna be able to provide oversight on, let the American people see how corrupt our Department of Justice is, and at least be a backstop from a financial accountability perspective and the appropriations perspective, and be able to rein some of that politicization in.
Do you think the GOP is going to have the stomach to actually cut funding to places like the FBI? I know they're asking for more money, but we all know how this is going to go. You're going to call the FBI in, ask them questions. They're going to say, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. And now we're at a stalemate because they're going to do what they've always done. From there, what does the GOP have the stomach to do?
I mean, there's a lot of this thanks to like the Elon Musk Twitter files and the dumps that we're getting in Hunter Biden's laptop. A lot of this, we don't even need to ask. We're going to ask them questions under oath, but we don't need the evidence because we already have a lot of it. The weaponization of the department. So we're going to use that process. And yeah, I can guarantee you every single member of the Judiciary Committee has the stomach to take those issues on. And I would hope, given all of the things that have happened, you're going to see the entire Republican conference fight that. I know Kevin McCarthy has talked about it. And I actually think you're going to see a couple Democrats. You're already seeing a couple of Democrats break off on some of these things because they know that we now have the majority and gives them a little bit more freedom because they're not under the hammer of Nancy Pelosi to come to the middle on some of these things that are affecting our country.
Good. I love hearing that. All right. There's actually more good news out there, I think. You'll have to clear this up. I'm stupid. We're obviously have a defense authorization bill that is, I'm sure it's going to sail its way through. And there's all kinds of crap in there. We can get to that in a second that shouldn't be in there. But are we actually going to get rid of the vaccine mandate?
Yeah, there's some wins in there. And one of them is that vaccine mandate that I've been fighting fervently against. And I'm very thankful that the repeal of that is in this bill that we'll be voting on today. Then it will go to the Senate, and it sounds like that's going to stay in there. There's some other things like bringing back people who were fired because of the vaccine mandate that's not in there, that I wish that it was in there. But thankfully, that COVID vaccine mandate is going to be lifted on our military service members going forward, which is a huge win.
I'm very concerned about the state of our military, and I'm concerned about it for this reason. We're not only hard purging people out with the vaccine mandate, we have ridiculous clown show thing after ridiculous clown show thing. Instead of training, our soldiers are having to attend seminars on how to braid hair, on how to be kind to transgender people, on how evil white people are. And what this is doing, it's running the real pipe hitters out, and it's causing that next 17-year-old who you want in to not join. Our recruiting retention problem isn't just a problem for the numbers. The quality of people is going down quickly. That's inarguable.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I had an Air Force Academy applicant that was going to want to apply to the Air Force Academy. And after they did some of the woke crazy stuff that they decided to do, he pulled his application. So it's having everyday impacts on good young people that want to serve our country. And some of the crazy stuff that's in this NDAA is language on climate change, some of these woke issues as it relates to pronoun and transgenderism, humanitarian aid to Lebanon, assistance to Niger, another $800 million to Ukraine. There's all sorts of crazy stuff packed in this. There's a gun right voluntary now, but that, you know, that's just a step in the direction of a red flag law to take our guns away from our military service members. That's in there too. There's a lot of really bad stuff. And overall, here's my point. Why are we doing this right now when the Republican majority takes the gavels on January 3rd and we can do a clean NDAA and have a heck of a lot more authority, being that we would have the majority coming into negotiating an NDAA with the Senate than we do right now? I don't even know why any Republican would vote for this when in less than a month, we get the gavels and can make those leverage a lot more of those issues.
Okay, is this thing going to pass, or can we stop this thing?
I think it passes the House today. It'll go to the Senate. My guess would be that because there's so many, like, quote unquote, bipartisan things that are in it, it'll probably pass the Senate as well. I don't plan to vote for it. And I think a lot of your conservatives will likely not vote for it for a variety of reasons that I just illustrated. And but I think it does become law and go to the president's desk.
Congressman, keep fighting for us. Appreciate you, man. Semper Fi.
No, I will. Thank you.
All right. We have more. We have a lot more. We're going to talk about the rot in our institutions in just a moment. There's rot in many industries in this country, the timeshare industry being one of them. Did you get yourself a timeshare? Maybe you even enjoyed it for a time. That's good. If you bought one, I hope you did. I hope you still are. But maybe you bought a timeshare and you want out, and they're telling you you can't get out. You see, the rot is bad, and this has become all too common in that industry. They tell you, nope, sorry, you should have read the fine print. You have to pay the annual fees every year. Nope, you're with us for life. And no, you're not. You're one phone call away from freedom. Call Lone Star Transfer. They will get you out. Call 844-310-2646. They guarantee they'll get you out. They guarantee it in writing and in a specific time frame. They'll get you out. One phone call from freedom. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. All right, let's talk a little bit about, well, it's not a story about the FBI or Twitter or Elon Musk. It's really a story about the challenge that you face and the challenge that I face. The challenge we've talked about extensively here on the show, the challenge of waking up normal people to what we're up against, how deep the communist rot goes, how truly evil and clever these people are. And I want you to understand this. If you have somebody you're trying to wake up and you can't, they also fooled the smartest man on the planet. Just know that. If you consider Elon Musk to be that. And this is what I mean. Okay, so we know all about the Twitter files by now. Okay, Elon Musk buys Twitter. he finds out, okay, Twitter definitely interfered with the 2020 election. They censored the Hunter Biden laptop stuff. What we're going to do is open up the books and show people what happened at Twitter. And it happened last week. We talked about it, how they had all these emails, and they were sent to this journalist, Matt Taibbi, and Matt Taibbi revealed these emails. This is what happened at Twitter, and this is what... And then after that, something interesting happened. People started digging into the reveal. Okay, who was on the emails? Who wasn't on the emails? And Miranda Devine, the great Miranda Devine, joined us, and she mentioned this. I want to make sure she gets credit for it. She mentioned... Where's James Baker in there? You remember this conversation, and we're talking to Miranda about that. And I said, okay, what? And James Baker, you may recognize the name. James Baker is the FBI guy who approved the illegal FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page, to spy on Donald Trump's campaign. He then eventually left and went to work for Twitter. And so what we started to notice is what we didn't notice. We started to notice that in all this big reveal, the opening of the books, there was nothing in there. None of these emails showed any communication or coordination with the FBI, which is so odd because we know for a fact, been admitted by the FBI and Facebook and whistleblowers, we know for a fact there were weekly meetings held with Facebook and Twitter. And yet when it came to censoring a story about the son of the president of the United States of America, the opening of the books didn't reveal any coordination or communication with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. That is odd, isn't it? Well, it's not odd when you consider James Baker left the FBI and became the deputy general counsel of Twitter. And here's the point that applies to you and waking up your neighbor and waking people up. Guess who Elon Musk unknowingly tasked with filtering out the information that was given to Matt Taibbi? Hey, we need to give Matt Taibbi some stuff. Hey, Jim, would you be in charge of seeing what emails we do and don't give Matt Taibbi? You see, Elon Musk supposedly, unknowingly, tasked the FBI communist to be the filter between Twitter's opening of the books and the reporter who released the information. Surprise, surprise, James Baker, like communists do, used his gate holder position of power, and oh, he definitely did some filtering of the emails that were released. He filtered out all the things that would make the Federal Bureau of Investigation appear to be what it is, the Cheka. Now, this isn't a lesson, like I said, about Elon Musk or Twitter or FBI or anything like that. This is a lesson in how far we have to go to wake up normal people. Even Elon Musk didn't understand fully what he was up against. We have to keep educating people, all right? We have to keep educating people about the FBI. We have to keep educating people, as many people as we possibly can, about Grip 6 wallets. Grip 6 wallets are the greatest thing ever. By the way, you can get them with the loop or without the loop. But what it is, you see I got my cards in here? Got my cards in the wallet, see that? You see that my cards don't come out. Why aren't they coming out? You hear that? It's like they should be coming out. Why aren't they? Because they're locked in. My cards are locked in. That must be a pain, right? I bet you have to. No pain at all. I squeeze, and they all pop out. And then they lock right back in. Isn't that freaking cool? It's not the leather ones that wear out all the time. It's not some big bulky thing you have to sit on all day long. It's Christmas time, man. Go get a loved one the best socks, the best belts, and the best wallets you can find at grip6.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a big discount. Grip6.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. Well, there's a lot of really ugly stuff going on within the intelligence community in this country right now. Frankly, a lot of very frightening stuff. So we thought maybe a former CIA ops officer would be helpful in trying to dissect a lot of this stuff. Joining me now, my friend Brian Dean Wright, host of the Great President's Daily Brief podcast. less than 20 minutes every day and you're boned up on all the issues of the day. I just love the concept of being able to catch up on everything on the way to work. Brian, okay, before we get to Russia, China, Mexico, every other freaking godforsaken hole in this country, in this planet, I guess I should say, we have our own problems here at home. James Baker's been in the news, all these intel guys in the news. It certainly looks like there's been at least a six-year intelligence operation operating in this country against people on the right. And Brian, that's not good.
Well, let's start here. Everyone out there who's listening thinking, you know, is it a conspiracy theory? Should I really be worried about this? The answer is yes, you should be worried about this. This is not a conspiracy theory. We have well-established reason to be very doubtful, particularly of folks in the FBI, but also in the CIA. We have corroborated circumstances and issues where these folks have put their thumbs on the scales in our politics. So we're seeing that now, I think, with Twitter. Right, so we have an individual there who is deciding or vetting those internal documents of what we should be able to see regarding this issue of Hunter Biden's laptop and that story. That same man, of course, authorized the unlawful surveillance of an American citizen, Carter Page. So it's absolutely fair to say, hey, I think a fox is in the hen house. Maybe we should get him out. And if we're going to have a little bit of transparency here and honesty around why that story was buried, not just by Twitter, but by so many others, get the FBI out of there because they clearly were involved in putting their thumb on the scale that 2020 election. So this whole conversation is fair. And I think that that's really at the end of the day, as we're all trying to figure out what's going on. That's the starting place. That's the foundation. There is a problem, not a conspiracy. Keep asking questions.
Okay, there is a problem, and I know we're getting to the point where we're both just guessing here, but how many foxes do we think are in the hen house, Brian? Because that's really the question, right? If it's five bad employees at the FBI, well, that's something you can solve on a Sunday afternoon, firing everybody. If it's all the leadership of the FBI, well, I don't think the organization can continue to exist in any form. How deep is the rot?
Yeah, awesome and important question. In fact, House Republicans, if they have any spine, that's precisely what they're going to be focused on when they take over in January. There have got to be oversight hearings into exactly how far this issue goes. Was it just a James Comey or this, you know, Jimmy Baker fella who's creating problems? No, it's probably not. We need to really dive into that. Call folks to Capitol Hill, threaten to jail or indeed jail them if they won't come. This is the kind of brass knuckle stuff that we need to have. And it's not going to change, I'll be honest with you, until we have a different president in the White House who understand that there is a problem, right? Because that's where the change starts to happen. New president, new Department of Justice leadership, and FBI director. Then you have a chance of cleaning it up. Until then, not going to happen.
Brian, do we think the American people know there's a problem? Now, I know some of them do. I'm not naive, but I know people vote with their wallet and people care about inflation and people care about gas prices. And I understand everyone's not going to be as boned up on the issues as Brian Dean Wright. I know that. But do you think enough American people are aware of just how dangerous this situation is?
No, I don't think most folks do. You know, that old Maslow's hierarchy of need, right? You focus on your food and your shelter and the basics. That's really what most of us focus on. But I'll tell you, this one is so important that if we don't fix it, if we don't talk about it and address it, it's going to affect your ability to put food in your belly and roof over your home, because you can start getting fired for things, from jobs, for having a personal expression of a belief that violates what folks at the Bureau or the political party will or won't allow you to say or think or do. So it's a really big deal. We just have to make sure we have good leadership that frames it in that way, I think.
All right, Brian, let's go overseas, because you're always giving us an update on the whole Russia-Ukraine thing. Where is this conflict, Brian? My watch tells me it's December 7th. It's got to be getting a bit chilly in that part of the world.
Sure is, friend. Well, let me tell you two important things. First, there were some drone strikes deep inside of Russian territory. Three of them, actually. One of them hit a strategic base where the jets who deliver the nuclear weapons or could hit some of those jets. The other was an air-to-air refueling location. The other one was about oil, I believe. The point is, these three locations deep inside Russia, who did it? Well, the Ukrainians are being a bit cheeky about it. The President Zelensky's advisor said, well, you know, it could be us. But the bottom line is they are escalating this beyond the borders of Ukraine, right? That has been the big goal by Joe Biden and the West. Keep this conflict localized inside the borders of Ukraine. the Ukrainians, and I'm not saying they're necessarily blaming them for doing this, they're trying to bring the pain to Russia. So this thing is pushing beyond the borders of Ukraine. That means escalation, and that could mean our involvement with boots on the ground beyond what we already have in there.
Okay, where'd they get the drones?
That's the question, my friend. It's possible that they used those from the United States or Europe, but it is also possible that they created some indigenous drones using old Soviet designs. Not really sure on that, but that is absolutely an important question that we all should be asking.
All right. Well, a big part of every war, the non-sexy part, is the economic part of war. It's a huge, huge part of things. And there's an economic war going on right now. Europe, America, Russia, what's going on?
Yeah, very big deal here. So starting earlier this week, there was a new cap on the amount of oil that the world will consume by Russia. Specifically, not a volume issue here, but a price, right? So if you want to buy Russian oil right now, you can. You just can't pay more than $60 a barrel. Well, that's going to flux in terms of what the market price is, but Europe is saying, you can't pay more than that, particularly if you're inside Europe. Well, how do they implement that? Well, the way that they really do it is with insurance. Right, so most of the oil tankers in the world get their insurance from or indeed flagged in Europe. And so if you have an oil tanker, you got that Russian oil inside, the only way that you can get insurance for it is you have to follow this new rule because you can't get a policy from any of these big European insurance providers otherwise. Russia's trying to get around this. You know, they bought about 100 different oil ships and they're providing insurance on their own. Not real sure how exactly well that is going to work. It probably will help, but that still means you're about 60, 70 ships short. And so you're looking at least 200,000 barrels a day less in the oil marketplace. And that means you and I paying possibly more in our gas prices because there's just less oil out there to refine.
Brian, what's going on with these anti-lockdown protests in China? Are they doing anything? Does China even care?
Well, ish, right? So most of the time, the folks in Beijing don't really care about their people. They care about stability. So the degree to which these protests threaten stability, okay. But what they're really worried about is their economy. Year-over-year orders from the United States to these Chinese manufacturers down 40%. That's what the Chinese authorities are really worried about, their economy.
Brian, finally, the Mexican military? Why are we supposed to be worried about the Mexican military?
We would love to have some good partners in Mexico, wouldn't we, to deal with things like drugs and fentanyl and the illegal migration. But the problem is, once again, we're getting leaked information out of the Ministry of Defense down in Mexico that said that they had an opportunity to arrest a cartel member's children who are involved deeply in their father's, El Chapo is his name, in the cartel activities. The Mexican army said, nah, we're going to pass on this one. At that same time, the Minister of Mexican Defense, last name Cienfuegos, he was actually working on behalf of at least one of the cartels. So what this shows us is that we don't have faithful partners in Mexico City. That includes the Mexican military, specifically the army. We don't have the Mexican president on our side either. So it's just a mess. We need to do things in our control since we don't have those faithful partners. And that means seal up the border and start killing these cartel members because ain't nobody else going to do it.
Brian Dean Wright, it is the President's Daily Brief podcast. Thank you, my friend.
As always.
All right. No light in the mood because we got to talk some Pearl Harbor, a little different than you've heard the rest of the day. Might even give you a little Pearl Harbor backstory before we get to that. You want access to all of our specials, exclusive content, things like that here on The First? It's cake. Anyone can do it. Go to thefirsttv.com/support and sign up to be a First TV supporter. Do you want more me? Carry me with you everywhere. Go to thefirsttv.com/support, all right? We'll be back.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. I regret to tell you that very many American lives have been lost. In addition, American ships have been reported torpedoed on the high seas between San Francisco and Honolulu. As Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, I have directed that all measures be taken for our defense. But always will our whole nation remember the character of the onslaught against us. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
It is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And I just wanted to do something real quick here, as something a little different as we end up the show. I know you probably have heard and saw all day long Pearl Harbor anniversary. I don't think I'm bringing you some kind of breaking news. Just wanted to do just a real quick little backstory, just a couple minutes worth. I could go for an hour on this, but just to give you a couple minutes of background on what brought the Japanese to our door on December 7th, 1941. You see, the Japanese, they were a real closed-off, isolationist country for a very, 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 very long time. And then they started to become aware that the modern world was going to eat them alive if they didn't drop all the swords and sandals stuff and modernize in some way. If they didn't create a modern economy, modern military, they were going to end up being colonized. They didn't want to be colonized. So they began to go around the world. They sent people around the globe to talk to this country and talk to that country. How do you build an economy? What do you do with this military? Over and over and over. This is called the Meiji Restoration, by the way. Very fascinating story. The country just woke up one day and decided, we're going to get modern. The Meiji Restoration. And they did. Started to get a modern economy, modern military, and things were going very, very well. But they began to need resources, one, and two, they're looking at this modern military, and they took on Russia in the early 1900s and kicked them around, and they took on China and kicked them around, and they're thinking to themselves, well, we can use this military. Our military is pretty sweet. And they began to really heavily invade China, where we had high economic interest, and so did Britain at the time and others. Well, Japan also, they got most of their raw materials from us because Japan is very resource poor. So their oil that powered that Japanese Navy, all the steel that built that Japanese Navy, things like that, most of that was coming from the United States of America. We started telling Japan, get out of China, get out of China. We don't want you in China. This is hurting our interests in China. And Japan kept saying, no, 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 no. And eventually, we were taking steps like shutting down, seizing Japanese assets within the borders of the United States of America. Japan decided they had no choice but to go all in, try to seize a bunch of islands all over the Pacific, a different region, not just islands, but different parts of the Pacific. I mean, this went clear to India, places like that. And they were going to grab their resources and then fortify everything because they knew there'd be counterattacks from the West, from us and Britain. And hey, let's just grab all this stuff. Let's build some bunkers and we'll fight them off when they get here. The plan for Pearl Harbor was never to destroy America. And what is it even really to destroy our entire Pacific fleet? The plan for Pearl Harbor was to hurt us bad enough by getting our aircraft carriers that it delayed us long enough to give them more time to dig in for our inevitable counterattack. And they thought America was too soft and too weak and that we would attack and we'd lose too many people and we'd eventually back off and just let them have all this territory they grabbed. They underestimated severely a few things. One, they missed all our carriers. They happened to be out to sea that day, thank you, Lord. And two, the Japanese did not fully understand the mentality of America when it came to the sucker punch aspect of Pearl Harbor. Never discount that aspect of Pearl Harbor. It wasn't just the attack. It was that they attacked before they declared war. Japanese, of course, called it a mistake. Oh, sorry, slept through his alarm, but it was not a mistake. They purposely sucker punched just before they declared war. It created a level of anger and resolve in this country that ended up with Japanese city after Japanese city. It wasn't just two, virtually all major Japanese cities being reduced to rubble. does not pay to sucker punch America, I guess. So there, little backstory on Pearl Harbor as we honor the fallen today. We'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.